Accession number 27068, Mr. George Wolfe, Reel 7. Now, we come to this point where you're at a POW hold. You're an interpreter at a POW holding unit. In the Midlands, you don't know where.
You said
there were some interesting points about
this. Well, the thing is, these POWs were all, had been screened in Scotland by the army and sent down as non-Nazi personnel, non-Nazified personnel, safe people who could work for the RAF on airfields as for general duties, sweeping up, and God knows what else, which normally some of the airmen used to do, but they were auxiliary sort of type of labouring type of jobs, for which they volunteered, by the way. And but I found on getting there that there was a core of very, very hard Nazis who somehow managed to slip through the net. Some senior non-commissioned officers, that's sergeants, staff sergeants, etc., Feldwebels, they were called. And they had sort of, there were several bicycles because the camp was quite big with a lot of huts over a fairly large distance, and they managed to get around on bicycles. But I noticed that the only bicycles being used by were by that corps of people. Anyway, the first day I was in my office, I had an office on my own, one of these senior NCOs walked into my office, sat on the edge of my desk and told me what the orders were for the day. I just looked at him and I said, well, my orders for the day are this. You get yourself off my desk, get outside the office, knock at the door. When I say come in, you come in, you stand to attention, and then I'll give you the orders for the day. And I realized immediately he was one of those very arrogant types who thought he was running the camp. There was a core. So I spoke to our CO, who was I think squadron leader, flight lieutenant, squadron, I can't remember. It wasn't very high ranking. And told him that he got to get rid of this because a lot of the ordinary German soldiers in the camp were most unhappy about being more or less bullied by this small core group, which only amounted to about 10 or 12 people. So he said, well, do you know who they are? I said, yes, I do know, because some of the Germans have told me who they are. I said, I want them packed off back to Scotland smartly. And they were. And then one of the German young soldiers came along and said, my father was a Social Democrat MP before Hitler, and I have never been Nazi. I've been brought up as a Social Democrat, and do you mind if I start running the camp newspaper now that these people, everybody had been scared or had been and gone? So I said, no, as long as you bring the copy to me for me to sort of read through and okay, it's fine.
So you're acting as a sort of censor?
Yes. But I knew I probably wouldn't have much to worry about, but I thought I'd make sure that nothing untoward was going into that news sheet. And everybody was happy. But by that time, the station warrant officer, who was in charge of the RAF side of things, every time he met me on the camp said, you here again, here's a pass, I want you to clear the camp, go home, you've earned the rest. So I didn't spend an awful long time on the site. And then by September, my demobilization was due. I came to Wembley, where I now live, and where I was demobbed. There was a number of Nissen huts where there's an industrial estate now. And I was measured for a suit. None of them fitted, so I had to have one made because my stature was, you know, too short. My arms were too short. My legs were too short. So I had a very nice grey pinstripe made. And the unfortunate part is, and I must say that before I conclude this, that I was very unhappy that on my discharge, and I'd asked the young, there was a young Sprug pilot officer or flight lieutenant, or flying officer who'd obviously just joined, who hadn't been abroad, I hadn't seen any service, put on my paybook that my service had been satisfactory. And I was very upset about that, because after 4.5 years and several campaigns and a commendation, I felt I deserved better than that. Whether this little incident in North Africa had gone for it, or whether, which I suspected, this particular young officer was racist, to say the least. You know, I felt from the moment I started the interview that he was anti-Semitic, which obviously I hadn't expected and I hadn't seen before, I hadn't met before in the service. Anyway, I didn't make any objections or appeal for the simple reason I thought to myself, I'm out of the service in my own profession. I don't need a service, what do you call them? I'm sorry.
It's right. Just the assessment in the paper, it didn't matter.
I don't need a reference, a service reference. So I let it go. For which I'm terribly sorry now, because it's been on my mind lately particularly, and I've joined an ex-servicemen's organization, and I feel extremely peeved about this. And with the, if there had been a chance now to appeal, I would have done, because I think I deserved a lot better than that. And now, that was the end of my service.
Now, we also get you back into civilian life. But what were you going to do? You know, you come back, you...
Oh, my job was guaranteed at the time. I went back to the photographic company.
And was that your career?
That was my career. And then a few years after that, I set up my own business, my own studio in the West End as a fashion advertising photographer. Had a successful career. That was terminated when I had major surgery. When I was 54 years old, but I didn't want to totally retire because I felt that I was too young to do that. So I managed, which today would be impossible, to get a nice job in the civil service with the Inland Revenue. I had a happy 11 years in the manpower and recruitment section, and made myself quite useful there, I think.
Now, what about the question of going back to Germany? I mean, because you were half German originally, you know. Did you go back to Germany, and what did you think about it? Not to live, I mean.
Oh, no, obviously, no.
Well,
I had no roots as such in Germany, but of course I married. I had a wife who was born in Germany, who lost both her parents in Auschwitz. And she did not at first want to ever go back to Germany, but then our daughter got into trouble. She was a student, a language student at Bristol University, and she had to have 6 months in France and 6 months in Germany. And when she got to her German university, which was Mainz, there was a mix-up in various things about accommodation and things. So in fact, in order to help her, we had to go. And that was the first time, and that was somewhere in the 1970s, I think it was.
That was your first time then?
That was the first time.
And how did you find it? I mean, you know.
Well, we've since made some excellent friends. My wife has a few teachers, one of whom spent his life trying to educate the younger generation in what had happened, and that, you know, actually trying to make good the sins of the father. I mean, he devoted his life to education and telling young Germans what happened and that it should never happen again. And it was part of the syllabus. And somebody else, who I met these people mainly through my wife, because she wrote a couple of autobiographical books, one in German, one in English. We went to the book fair in Frankfurt and met publishers and things like that. So, and since then we've been back numerous times, and must say that on the whole, all the people we've met personally, I mean, obviously there are extreme right-wing organizations which we all know about, but the people we actually have contact with are all very, very good people. And my wife, in her lectures, which she gives from time to time, some in the Imperial War Museum to sixth form students on an annual basis, she does stress the point that we should not let the sins of the fathers cloud our judgment of today's youth in Germany. And, you know, that's how she feels. And if anybody is entitled to hate Germans, it's my wife, because she lost most of her family. But she's since come to the conclusion that you cannot go on hating forever, and that you've got to give the younger people a chance to, what shall we say, redeem themselves, if you like.
Thank you very much.